Hello and welcome to I Do the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, and on today's episode, we're going to continue our series discussing the top 10 problems with biological and chemical evolution, taken from a chapter I wrote in the book More Than Myth, edited by Robert Stackpole and Paul Brown, and published by Chartwell Press in 2014. On today's episode, we're going to discuss how molecular biology has failed to yield a grand tree of life. When fossils fail to demonstrate that animals evolved from common ancestors, evolutionary scientists turn to another type of evidence, DNA sequence data, to demonstrate a tree of life. In the 1960s, around the time the genetic code was first understood, biochemists Emil Zuckerkandel and Linus Pauling hypothesized that if DNA sequences could be used to produce evolutionary trees, trees which matched those available on the basis of morphological or anatomical characteristics, then this would provide what they called, quote, the best available single proof of the reality of macroevolution, unquote. Thus began a decades-long effort to sequence the genes of many organisms and construct molecular-based evolutionary phylogenetic trees. The ultimate goal has been to construct a grand tree of life, showing how all living organisms are related through universal common ancestry. The basic logic behind building molecular trees is relatively simple. First, investigators choose a gene or a suite of genes found across multiple organisms. Next, those genes are analyzed to determine their nucleotide sequence, so the gene sequence of various organisms can then be compared. Finally, an evolutionary tree is constructed based upon the principle that the more similar the nucleotide sequence, the more closely related the species. A paper in the journal Biological Theory puts the methodology this way, stating, quote, molecular systematics is largely based on the assumption, first articulated by Zuckerkandel and Pauling, 1962, that the overall degree of similarity reflects the degree of relatedness, unquote. This assumption is essentially an articulation of a major feature of the theory, the idea of universal common ancestry. Nonetheless, it's important to realize that it is a mere assumption to claim that genetic similarities between different species necessarily result from common ancestry. If you operate strictly within a Darwinian paradigm, these assumptions flow naturally. As the aforementioned paper in Biological Theory explains, the main assumption underlying molecular trees, quote, derives from interpreting molecular similarity or dissimilarity between taxa in the context of a Darwinian model of continual and gradual change, unquote. So the theory is assumed to be true in order to construct a phylogenetic tree. However, if Darwinian evolution is true, then the construction of trees using different sequences should reveal a reasonably consistent pattern across different genes or sequences. This makes it all the more significant that efforts to build a grand tree of life using DNA or other biological sequence data have not conformed to expectations. The basic problem is that one gene gives one version of the tree of life, while another gene gives a highly different and conflicting version of the tree. For example, as we'll discuss further in just a moment, the standard mammalian tree places humans more closely related to rodents than to elephants. But studies of certain types of DNA called microRNA genes have suggested the opposite, that humans were closer to elephants than rodents. Such conflicts between gene-based trees are extremely common. The genetic data is thus not painting a consistent picture of common ancestry, showing the assumptions behind tree building commonly fail. This leads to justifiable questions about whether universal common ancestry is correct. Problems first arose when molecular biologists sequenced genes from the three basic domains of life, bacteria, archaea, and eukarya. But those genes did not allow the basic groups of life to be resolved into a tree-like pattern. In 2009, the journal New Scientist published a cover story titled Why Darwin Was Wrong About the Tree of Life, which explained these quandaries, stating, quote, the problems began in the early 1990s when it became possible to sequence actual bacterial and archaeal genes rather than just RNA. Everybody expected that these DNA sequences to confirm the RNA tree, and sometimes they did, but crucially, sometimes they did not. RNA, for example, might suggest that species A was more closely related to species B than species C, but a tree made from DNA would suggest the reverse, unquote. This sort of data led biochemist W.4 Doolittle to explain that molecular phylogenists will have failed to find the true tree, not because their methods are inadequate or because they have chosen the wrong genes, but because the history of life cannot be properly represented as a tree, unquote. New Scientist put it this way, stating, quote, for a long time, the Holy Grail was to build a tree of life, but today the project lies in tatters, torn to pieces by an onslaught of negative evidence, unquote. Many evolutionists sometimes reply that these problems only arise when studying microorganisms like bacteria, organisms which can swap genes through a process called horizontal gene transfer, thereby muddying the signal of evolutionary relationships. But this objection isn't quite true, since the tree of life is challenged even among higher organisms where such gene swapping is not prevalent. Carl Woese, a pioneer of evolutionary molecular systematics, explains, stating, quote, "Molecular incongruities can be seen everywhere in the universal tree, from its root to the major branchings within and among the various taxa to the makeup of the primary groupings themselves," unquote. Likewise, the New Scientist article notes that, quote, "research suggests that the evolution of animals and plants isn't exactly tree-like either," unquote. The article explains what happened when microbiologist Michael Savanin tried to create a tree using evolutionary relationships from 2,000 genes from a diverse group of animals. It stated, quote, "he failed. The problem was that different genes told contradictory evolutionary stories. The genes were sending mixed signals. Roughly 50% of its genes have one evolutionary history and 50% another." The data were so difficult to resolve into a tree that Savanin lamented, quote, "we've just annihilated the tree of life," unquote. Many other papers in the technical literature have recognized similar problems. A 2009 paper in Trends in Ecology and Evolution notes that, quote, "a major challenge for incorporating such large amounts of data into inferences of species trees is that conflicting genealogical histories often exist in different genes throughout the genome." Similarly, a paper in Genome Research studied DNA sequences in various groups of organisms and animals and found that, quote, "different proteins generate different phylogenetic trees." A 2012 paper in the journal Nature reported that short strands of RNAs called microRNAs are, quote, "tearing apart traditional ideas about the animal family tree." Dartmouth biologist Kevin Peterson, who studies microRNAs, lamented, quote, "I've looked at thousands of microRNA genes, and I can't find a single example that would support the traditional tree." According to the article, microRNAs yielded, quote, "a radically different diagram for mammals, one that aligns humans more closely with elephants than with rodents," unquote. Peterson put it bluntly, "the microRNAs are totally ambiguous. They give a totally different tree from what everyone else wants," unquote. Not all phylogenetic trees are constructed by comparing molecules like DNA from different species. Many trees are based upon comparing the form, structure, and body plan of different organisms, also called morphology. But conflicts between molecule-based trees and morphology-based trees are also common. A 2012 paper studying bat relationships made this clear, stating, quote, "incongruence between phylogenies derived from morphological versus molecular analyses and between trees based on subsets of molecular sequences have become pervasive as data sets have expanded rapidly in both characters and species," unquote. This is hardly the only study to encounter conflicts between DNA-based trees and trees based upon anatomical or morphological characteristics. Textbooks often claim common descent is supported using the example of a tree of animals based upon the enzyme cytochrome C, which matches the traditional evolutionary tree based upon morphology. However, textbooks rarely mention that the tree based upon a different enzyme, cytochrome B, sharply conflicts with the standard evolutionary tree. As one article in Trends in Ecology and Evolution observed, quote, "the mitochondrial cytochrome B genome implied an absurd phylogeny of mammals, regardless of the method of tree construction. Cats and whales fell within primates, grouping with simians, monkeys and apes, and strepsirrhines, lemurs, bush babies, and lorises, to the exclusion of tarsiers. Cytochrome B is probably the most commonly sequenced gene in vertebrates, making the surprising result even more disconcerting," unquote. Strikingly, a different article in Trends in Ecology and Evolution concluded, quote, "the wealth of the competing morphological as well as molecular proposals of prevailing phylogenies of the mammalian orders would reduce the mammalian tree to an unresolved bush, the only consistent evolutionary relationship probably being the grouping of elephants and sea cows," unquote. Because of such conflicts, a major review article in Nature reported that, quote, "disparities between molecular and morphological trees often lead to evolution wars because," quote, "evolutionary trees constructed by studying biological molecules often don't resemble those drawn up from morphology," unquote. Finally, a study published in Science in 2005 tried to use genes to reconstruct the relationships of the animal phyla, but concluded, quote, "despite the amount of data and the breadth of taxa analyzed, relationships among most animal phyla remain unresolved," unquote. The following year, the same authors published a scientific paper titled Bushes in the Tree of Life, which offered striking conclusions. The authors observed that a large fraction of single genes produced phylogenies of, quote, poor quality, observing that one study, quote, omitted 35% of single genes from their data matrix because those genes produced phylogenies at odds with conventional wisdom, unquote. The paper suggests that, quote, certain critical parts of the tree of life may be difficult to resolve regardless of the quantity of conventional data available. The paper even contends that, quote, the recurring discovery of persistently unresolved clades, bushes, should force a reevaluation of several widely held assumptions of molecular systematics, unquote. Unfortunately, one assumption that these evolutionary biologists are not willing to reevaluate is the assumption that universal common ancestry is correct. They appeal to a myriad of ad hoc arguments, horizontal gene transfer, long branch attraction, rapid evolution, differing rates of evolution, coalescent theory, incomplete sampling, flawed methodology, and convergent evolution to explain away inconvenient data that doesn't fit the coveted tree-like pattern that's required by common ancestry. As a 2012 paper stated, quote, phylogenetic conflict is common and frequently the norm rather than the exception, unquote. At the end of the day, the dream that DNA sequence data would fit into a nice, neat tree of life has failed, and with it, a key prediction of neo-Darwinian theory. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we will discuss the problem of convergent evolution. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.